You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't
over. Right before I die, I got it. Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Kind of stay in that zone or get in that zone, and I just wasn't getting in that zone. And in my spirit, it seemed like the Lord was just telling me to turn everything off. And I'm like, you know, I struggled with it for a moment. And I finally turned everything off, and I heard the Lord say something. I heard the Lord say, sudden fear. Sudden fear. Now, I had never heard, I've read the Bible through the Bible many a times. And I'm thinking to myself, if it's in the Bible, I just haven't seen it. I just haven't caught it. But I know I heard the Lord say, sudden fear. And you stay right there, but I'm going to roll over to the book of Proverbs right quick. Oh, glory to God, and read this verse of scripture. I know that the Lord wants me to talk about fear on this morning. Oh, glory to God. And how many know that God didn't give you a spirit of fear? But the Bible says he gave us what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Can I tell you something? Love helps you to trump fear. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Love helps you to trump fear. The Bible says perfect love or mature love casts out fear. Fear can oppose your faith, but it can't oppose or stand up against love. This is why, and my wife was saying something earlier this morning, this is why God wants to get to a place where we know him, or we fall in love with him, and you don't have to sit around trying to believe God all the time. They're just things that you know. Can I tell you something? Because I've been married to my wife 33 years, I don't have to sit around and believe that she loves me. This is something that I know. I've come to a place of knowing. God wants us to come to a place of knowing. He never wanted you always. This is why he said you only need a mustard seed worth of faith. Because you were supposed to go on to a place of maturing in your relationship with God, where guess what? You know that he wants you healed. Okay? You know that he wants you to have money. Come on, in your pockets. No matter what nobody's saying. You know that God wants you blessed. Oh, glory to God. Why would God take man and put man in a place called Eden or paradise? Oh, glory to God. If God didn't want the best for man. Amen, somebody. And so you have to know this. All right. And so in Proverbs 3, verse 25 through 26, and I want you to write it down. You can read it later. Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. The Bible says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Somebody say sudden fear. It's a tactic that really the enemy uses on the people of God. Where all of a sudden you're having a good day, and then next thing you know, all seem like all HE double hockey sticks break out. Seem like you're not going to have enough money to do this. Seem like they're trying to fire you off your job. Come on, somebody. Sudden fear. You know, we don't understand how the enemy really works at our emotions.
Yes.
Okay, all right. He wants to get you going in a motion or a direction. How many know that it's hard to stop a train once it gets going?
Amen.
And he wants you to be just like a train. He wants you to take that ride and keep on riding down that road. Come on, somebody. And this is where, you know, I thank God, because the Bible tells us to pull down every high thing, every thought that would exalt itself against the higher knowledge of God. And this is why you have to pray for discernment. God, give me discernment. First thing the discernment ought to do is help you out. Come on. Well, guess what? You're going along and you're riding with that thought, and all of a sudden, boom, I got you. I caught you. Come on. You're trying to steal my peace. You're trying to steal my joy. Come on. And the Bible says when a thief has been discovered, he must repay sevenfold. And so now, guess what? It's time for you to get paid. You want to get paid. The problem is that, guess what? We're not trying to get paid. Come on. You messing with my mind? Come on. I'm about to get paid. Come on. You trying to mess with my emotions? I'm about to get paid. God, I put a demand on your word. You said in the word when a thief has been discovered, he must repay sevenfold. I want to see it today. I want to see the sevenfold today. I want to see the double of my trouble today. Somebody say today. Now. Come on, somebody.
I want to see it.
Not next week, but now. After, come on now. See, I didn't make this up. Come on. But God says this in his word. And so guess what? Because of discernment, when I catch the enemy, come on, you're trying to mess with my peace?
Yes.
You're trying to take my joy? You're trying to get me to dread, to walk in anxiety,
yes,
fear? Come on, somebody. You're trying to stress me out? Come on. When you catch the devil, see, some of y'all, you think that you got to be looking directly at the devil. No, 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 no. He speaks in a nice, still, subtle voice. Come on. Oh, you know God don't love you. You know you made too many mistakes, you know, for God to love you. Come on, you know God ain't going to do it. The devil is a lie. You've been caught. Come on. Eve, you've been caught. Oh, glory to God. Pay me in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Okay, all right. Oh, glory to God. Oh, tell somebody it's time to get paid.
Time to get paid.
So God says, be not afraid of what type of fear?
Sudden
fear. Don't be afraid of sudden fear. Come on. Sudden fear is liable to stick his head. Okay, all right. He says, neither of desolation. Come on, don't be afraid of being destroyed. Don't be afraid of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And so it's in the Bible. The Bible speaks about sudden fear. But the Bible says that God shall be thy confident and keep you from being taken. Come on, somebody. And so going back over to the book of Psalms 34. This is what I wanted to start out with. I just had, you know, so many scriptures that I wrote down. I didn't know how it was going to start. Sometimes I get up here. That's why I pray so hard in the back. Because I'm like, God, you got to help me. Because I don't even know where you want to start. And I just do my best to try to be led by the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, no weapon formed shall prosper. And so Psalms 34, verses 4 and 5, it says this. It says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. I mean, you know, when you seek God, he's going to answer you. And the Bible says he delivered me from what?
All
my fears. He didn't say some of my fears, because that's the problem. Some of us have been delivered from some of our fears, but we have not been delivered from what? All of our fears. Oh, glory to God. See, I've come to find out when fear comes, fear don't come by itself. He come packing. Come on, he bring his buddy called dread. He bring his buddy called worry. He bring this buddy called anxiety, stress. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Oppression, deeper. Oh, glory. You wake up one morning, you're like, what the world is this? Come on, you feel like you don't even know God. Come on, you feel like you done fell off the bus. You're spinning your wheels and you're not going nowhere. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, Lord, deliver me from all of my fears. Come on, say it like you mean it. How many want to get delivered from all of your fears? God, deliver me from all of my fears in the mighty name of Jesus. We seal it with the blood of Jesus that you just spoke. Glory to God. Let me show you something. Where do I want to go? The Bible says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So if God didn't give us a spirit of fear, where did it come from? Who did it come from? I believe that there was a reverence for God. But how many know that everything that God has ordained, the enemy takes it and perverts it? And so now we have fear in the earth. Come on. Because fear causes you really to act out of character. Okay. Fear paralyzes you. Fear won't allow you to see the future, a bright future. Come on, somebody. Fear won't allow you to see the bigger, the greater. Come on. Fear won't allow you. Okay, all right. All right. All right. Fear, because one of the things that God asked, Adam when God came to visit Adam in the garden, Adam and Eve, and all of a sudden, here they are, they're hiding from him. Come on, acting out of character. Come on, they come dressed up, looking all crazy with some fig leaves on. You're like, what's going on here? You know? And they're talking about, well, we were afraid. And he said, now, wait a moment. I never taught you that. Yeah, bye. I never gave you that. I never gave you the spirit of fear. Wait a moment. Wait just one moment. You see, in the two of you, wait a moment. And he asked a question. He said, who told you that you were afraid? Okay, all right. Let me say it this way. Who told you that you would never amount to nothing and be nothing? Okay, all right. Don't act up on me, phone. Who told you that you would never be married? Okay, all right. Who told you that you've made too many mistakes for God to bless you? Come on. Who told you that you could never be rich? Okay, all right. If God could take Joseph, my God, locked up in jail, come on. And take him out of jail and put him in the palace and put him second in charge in Egypt. And one day, what can God do for your life? Come on, y'all get this? Who told you that you can't get that promotion on the job and you ain't wise enough to be in that position? Let me show you something. I knew that I wasn't the wisest cookie in the pot. Come on. But I wasn't turning down no promotion. And when they promoted me, I realized that I had wise people around me. And so I didn't have so much pride that I couldn't get on the phone and call somebody up and say, what are we doing, Miss Such and Such? Because guess what? My job was just to lead. Come on, somebody. My job was just to make decisions. Come on. Tell somebody, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. Come on. I wasn't trying to be the wisest cookie on the block. Come on, somebody. That's what y'all are. Because God knows how to put those type of folks around you. All he expects for you to do is to lead. I can tell you right now, My wife got more book knowledge than me. She know all about this medical stuff. Come on. Sometimes she be saying this stuff, and I'd be like, I don't know what that is. What's that? Oh, glory to God. Well, my job is just for me.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Sometimes we got to say, oh, glory to God. See, if God told you that you're a leader, come on. It don't mean that you know everything.
Yes.
You just lead.
Yes.
Okay, y'all. Okay, all right. Who told you? I wrote down some things, because a lot of times the enemy is speaking things in our ears. Who told you? That you'll never own a house, that you can't afford a house. Wait, now I want to know who told you that. Because come on, you ain't been calling that rascal out. You ain't been trying to get paid. Come on. The Bible, now I didn't say this now, but the Bible says when the thief has been what?
Discovered.
Come on, in other words, you done pulled. Put that over the top of your head, son. Put that over the top of your head. Now, I want you to say, you will never have a house.
You will never have a house.
Wait a moment. Wait a moment. Then what did I do to him just then? I uncovered him. Come on. I took the cover off of him, and he has been exposed. Come on, somebody. And so the Bible says that when he is exposed, come on, it's time. Pay me. Pull some money out your pocket right now. Pay me. See, sometimes you got to do demonstrations. Sometimes you got to help God's people out with some demos. Are y'all getting this?
Bye-bye.
Huh? What? He ain't pulling that money out, though. He kept that. Pull that money out, son. Pull a dollar out or something. Pull at least a dollar out. Say it on that table right now. And I heard your mama back there. I didn't see you pulling no money. Because she about to run up and get it before I get it. Who told you?
Yeah, no.
That you would never overcome your past. Who's telling you that? Who's telling you that? What's that judge that's on television right now that Whitney Jewell and Matthews? Hold up. Now, because if God can raise up one person to do it,
yeah.
Apparently he wasn't listening to the voice of the enemy.
That's right.
Who told you that you can't fly? Come on. You scared to fly. I run into too many Christians that you know, sometimes they'll be like, I can't drive at night. Okay, all right. Who told you that? Did fear tell you that? Come on, my son was talking about the disciples. Let's go there. I think it's Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to come back. I don't know where I'm at now, but we're going to come back to Matt. We're going to come back there. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Eight and 23. Look at your neighbor and say, who's been telling you all this junk? Who's been telling you? Who's been speaking in your ear? Come on, they had a movie out that was titled "Look Who's Talking." Come on, who's talking to you? Who's telling you this? The problem is that sometimes we're too busy listening to what the enemy has to say instead of listening to what God has to say. And this is why God says to meditate on my word day and night, because it will make your way prosperous. Because once you begin to hear this enough, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Faith, come on. Hearing the word of God, let me know that guess what? Guess what? I don't have to tolerate what the enemy was telling me. When the enemy was saying that your wife is barren and you can't have no children, I didn't tolerate that. I didn't receive it. Let me say it this way. I didn't let the water get into the boat. Okay. All right. I don't know if that's how I got it. Let me say it over here. I did not let the water get into the boat. Sometimes we're letting the water get into the boat. Come on. Oh, glory Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, all right. We let the water get into the boat. Stop letting the water get into the boat. Oh, glory to God. Okay, all right. Ooh, the devil gonna say a whole lot. Come on. Don't let it get in you. When you hear it, say something back. Now, let me show you something. When the devil came to Jesus and said something, what did Jesus do? He said something back. Okay, all right. Prove to me you the Son of God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Every time the enemy says something to Jesus, Jesus says something back. Why? Because Jesus knew that, guess what? In the spirit realm, words, not no bullets, not no guns, come on somebody, but words are a weapon. In the beginning, God said, let there be this, let there be that. Come on, what was he using? Words. They don't operate like that. They don't go to war with bullets. See, God's word is all powerful. And so the Bible says, and when he, Jesus, entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest. Now, some of your Bible says, suddenly, oh glory to God, a tempest or a storm arose. Who Bible says suddenly? Come on, you look at some of these Bibles, it's going to say suddenly. Okay, all right, I saw one person raise their hand. So insomuch that the ship was covered with water, but he was asleep. Showing you what you ought to be doing when the enemy sticks his head up. You ought to be just relaxing. Come on. Because you know the one that keeps you. Because you know the assignment. If God said we're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. I don't care what come. I don't care what sticks his head up. Come on, somebody. If God said, okay, if God said, the problem is that, guess what? He want to cause something suddenly to happen so that you'll forget that word that was spoken. Okay. I'm going to say that again. I know what was spoken about Brother Bobo, but if I can get Brother Bobo to think that he's going to drown, oh, glory to God, if he's going to die, he just might speak against what was spoken over his life. Because that's one of the things. The devil loves to get God's people. Come on. This is why God had to shut Zechariah's mouth. God had to shut his mouth. The man couldn't speak. Why? Because God said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to have a son in this season. And he said, wait a moment. We're old as dust. Come on, somebody. We this and we that and this. And the angel of the Lord said, you know what? God's going to shut your mouth. Because if God don't shut your mouth, it ain't going to come to pass. Why? Because you can't keep us. You're speaking against, come on, what God has ordained. Sometimes, and this is why I preach so much about God wanting to turn the power up in our mouths. Yeah. To the point that, guess what? He turns the power up in our mouths so that when we say something, we'll see it. Yeah. Right. Some of us didn't even know that God has the ability to turn the power up in our mouths. Oh, glory to God. And you say a whole lot. And when you don't see nothing, that lets you know that, guess what? The power might not be turned too much up in your mouth. Jesus looked at the tree and said, hey, you know, dry up, wither away. And what did it do? It dried up and withered away. Joshua looked up at the sun and the moon and said, stand still. Well, what happened? It stood still. Come on. Science has proven that the sun and the moon are what? A day behind. Okay. What am I saying? I'm saying when you look in the Bible, you'll see that there were men, women that had the power of God turned up in their mouths. They said it and it came to pass. But guess what? I ain't got time to go down that road. Listen to the radio broadcast. My daughter has been teaching on that, the power in the mouth. Amen. Now, the Bible says that, and his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith. Why did they go to Christ? They went to Christ because guess what? They were afraid. I told you, fear causes you to do what? Act out of character. Fear paralyzes you. Come on. Fear causes you to in the garden. Fear caused Adam and Eve to waste their time making aprons. Sometimes fear causes folks to waste their time. It caused them to hide.
Good evening, and thank you for listening to our broadcast. I want to take a moment and invite you to our marriage conference, March the 16th and 17th. The location is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock. That's Victory International Praise Church, 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida. The Bible says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And a lot of times marriages are going through some things because we do lack knowledge. The Bible says to dwell with your spouse according to knowledge. And so we want to give you some knowledge and even some wisdom. And so once again, the address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. We will be starting at 7 p.m. I pray that God will stir the hearts of even the spouses that you don't even believe would be willing to come, that God will stir their hearts to come and to be there. All right, God bless you. We love you.
You found Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. This is Denny Nugent here with a question from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, where in verse 53, Jesus tells the disciples, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now, John, it'd be easy to read that passage and assume Jesus is talking about the ordinance of communion, but is that what he's referring to there?
Well, he is not talking about the ordinance of communion there, of course. That is not established until the upper room on the night he was betrayed, before his crucifixion, when he transfers the Passover into the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. What he is saying in John chapter 6 is simply, you must take me in. His point was an analogy that has spiritual rather than literal significance. In other words, you have to embrace me. You have to embrace me, the Son of Man. You have to embrace me in my death, or you have no eternal life. To acknowledge a crucified Son of Man, a crucified Messiah for the Jews was unthinkable, alien, objectionable, and they had no interest in a crucified Messiah. Our Lord is saying, if you don't acknowledge me as the Son of Man who offers himself as a sacrifice for sin, if you don't take in all of that, believe that with all your heart, you cannot have eternal life. You must believe in the incarnation and the death of the Messiah.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like more in-depth teaching from the Gospel of John, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
We sense your glory in the building, Lord. Your presence is here. Sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the spirit of the living God.
There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere.
Come on, Martha, sing it.
Come and lay down.